All right, ready for a deep dive. Today, we're tackling the Book of Joshua. We'll be using some excerpts from lectures by Dr. David Howard. He has some really interesting insights. You probably know the basic story, the battles and miracles, but we're going to dig a little deeper, go beyond the surface. Think of this as a crash course in the deeper themes of Joshua, like obedience and leadership. Oh, and even the concept of holy war, which always sparks debate.
And you know, what's fascinating is how Dr. Howard approaches the book. He really pushes us to see God as the main character, not Joshua.
Huh. You know, I never really thought about it that way. I always pictured Joshua as the hero, leading the Israelites into the promised land. But what does it even mean to see God as the, like, protagonist of the story?
Well, Dr. Howard's point is that the whole book is about God's power. It shows how God is faithful to the promises he made way back to Abraham. It's like you're watching this master plan unfold, and Joshua's just part of it.
So it's less about Joshua's personal heroism and more about his role in God's plan.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really cool. Dr. Howard keeps coming back to this word, gift. The promised land isn't something the Israelites just conquer by force, you know. It's a gift, an inheritance from God.
I like that. It definitely changes how I see the whole story. So what did inheritance really mean in that time and place? Was it like dividing up property between family members?
That's a great question. Dr. Howard says inheriting the land was a big process with lots of steps. It involved driving out the Canaanites, sure, but also dividing the land among the tribes. It even meant setting up new ways to worship and govern themselves. So it wasn't just about owning land, it was about living God's way.
That makes total sense. It was about their whole way of life, their relationship with God, who they were as a people.
You got it. And Dr. Howard believes this idea of inheritance is like the key to the whole book. He even has his students outline the entire book of Joshua using that concept. It helps them see the book from a whole new angle.
That's a pretty neat teaching method. It makes you think deeper, right?
Absolutely. It's not just memorizing facts. It's about getting the deeper meaning.
Okay, so we've got God as the main character and the promised land as a gift, an inheritance. What other key themes does Dr. Howard point out?
Well, he spends a lot of time comparing the Israelites in Joshua to their time in the wilderness. You know, the book of Numbers, all that wandering and complaining.
Oh, yeah, they were a tough bunch to lead, always testing Moses.
Right. But in Joshua, something changes. They're more united, they obey God, and they win battle after battle. Dr. Howard uses this to show how important obedience is. When you obey God, you receive his blessings.
It makes you think about your own life, you know? When I've obeyed God, things have gone better. But haven't there been times when people obey and things still go wrong?
That's a really good point, and Dr. Howard actually talks about that. He knows that obedience doesn't always mean everything's easy. Sometimes, even when you're following God, things get tough.
So how does he explain that? How can obedience lead to blessings, but faithful people still struggle?
Well, he says that God is always working, even when things are hard. He uses this analogy of a potter shaping clay. Sometimes it's messy, but the potter always has the final product in mind.
Oh, I like that. That's a helpful image. So even when life feels chaotic, we can trust that God is shaping us.
Exactly. He's guiding us towards what he wants for our lives. And that connects back to this inheritance idea. God isn't just giving the Israelites land. He's making them into his people, a people who reflect his character and do his work in the world.
It's really interesting how that idea of inheritance goes deeper than just land. It's about God shaping the Israelites' identity and purpose. But they're also coming into this new land with all these different cultures and ways of life. Dr. Howard talks about purity of worship a lot. What does that even mean exactly?
Oh, it's a big theme in the book. Basically, it means the Israelites had to separate themselves from how the Canaanites worshiped. They had to stay devoted to the one true God.
I get that, but it also sounds really tough. Imagine being surrounded by people with different gods and customs. I bet it was tempting to just, you know, blend in.
Oh, for sure. But Dr. Howard explains that this focus on holiness, it's what really set the Israelites apart. It reminded them that they weren't defined by the cultures around them. Their identity came from their relationship with God.
You know, it makes me think about how easy it is to get caught up in the world today. There's so much pressure to conform, to follow the latest trends and beliefs.
Absolutely. It takes real effort to stay true to your faith. The Israelite story is a powerful reminder of that. They were constantly tempted to compromise, to just fit in.
And that brings us to a difficult part of the story, one that a lot of people struggle with, the destruction of the Canaanites. It's a tough topic, no doubt about it.
Yeah, for sure. The violence described in the book can be hard to read for modern readers. It makes you question things like God's nature and the reasons for war. Dr. Howard admits it's complex and deserves a lot of thought and study.
I like that he doesn't try to avoid those tough parts. Sometimes we want to make the Bible sound all nice and neat, but it's important to face those difficult passages too.
Absolutely. And while we can't fully unpack the whole idea of holy war right now, Dr. Howard actually has a whole lecture series on that topic planned for the future.
I'll definitely be listening to that one. But for now, let's switch gears a bit and talk about leadership. Dr. Howard uses Joshua as a model leader, the one God chose to lead his people. What kind of leadership qualities does he highlight?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because Joshua isn't portrayed as some perfect superhero. He makes mistakes, he has doubts, but he's also full of faith and courage. And he always obeys God.
You mentioned earlier that Joshua was like Moses' right-hand man. So he already had leadership experience going into this, right? Did that make it easier for him?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But Dr. Howard says, even with all that experience, Joshua still asked God for guidance all the time. He didn't rely on his own smarts or past successes. That humility, that dependence on God, is a big part of what makes him a great leader.
I can see how that would resonate with people. I mean, who hasn't felt unsure of themselves in a leadership role? Even someone like Joshua, who walked with Moses, needed God's direction.
It's inspiring, isn't it? It reminds us that true leadership isn't about having all the answers. It's about admitting you don't know everything, trusting God's wisdom, and being willing to learn and grow as you go.
So humility is key. What else can we learn from Joshua's leadership?
Well, Dr. Howard also talks about Joshua's ability to inspire the people, to get them moving. Think about it. These people had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. They were tired and skeptical, but Joshua united them around a goal.
He had to remind them of God's promises, give them a sense of purpose.
Exactly. He was a great communicator. He could explain the vision in a way that resonated with what people deeply wanted. And he led with conviction, with this certainty that God was with them.
I'm starting to see why Dr. Howard chose Joshua as his example of godly leadership. He had so many qualities that are still important today. Humility, vision, conviction. Those are things we all need in our own leadership roles, whether we're leading at work, in our families, or even just ourselves.
You nailed it. The things we can learn from Joshua's leadership aren't just ancient history. They teach us what it means to lead well in any time, in any situation.
Okay, so we've covered God's faithfulness, the idea of inheritance, the importance of purity and obedience, and the complexities of holy war. We've even looked at some key leadership principles from Joshua. Where does Dr. Howard go from here?
Well, he ends his lectures on a really hopeful and peaceful note. He reminds us that after all that wandering and fighting, God's people finally find a place to settle. They finally get some peace and quiet.
They deserved a break, right? After all that struggle, they could finally breathe a sigh of relief.
Exactly. And it's not just about physical rest. Dr. Howard says this rest symbolizes something deeper. It's about God's promises coming true, their destiny being fulfilled. It's a moment of real peace and contentment.
It makes me think about what rest means for us today. I mean, we're not conquering land or anything. But we all have our own battles, our own struggles. What are we fighting for? What kind of rest are we looking for?
Yeah, it's kind of cool to think about rest as something more than just like relaxing on the couch. Dr. Howard seems to be saying it has something to do with finding your purpose, your place in God's plan.
You're getting it. He really makes that connection. For the Israelites, finding rest meant getting to the promised land, fulfilling God's purpose for them. But he wants us to think about what that looks like for us now. You know, what are we holding on to? What are we fighting for that might be keeping us from that rest?
So if we're thinking about rest in today's world, it's less about where you are and more about how you are.
Exactly. It could be finding peace in the middle of all the craziness. Or maybe it's about letting go and trusting that God's got this. Dr. Howard even suggests that for some people, rest might mean fighting for justice, making things right in the world.
Wow, that's deep. It connects the idea of rest to what we actually do, how we live.
Right.
And it reminds us that finding rest isn't always easy. Remember, even after they got to the promised land, the Israelites still had problems. Their rest wasn't just sitting around. It was about living in harmony with God and each other.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Joshua, what are the big takeaways Dr. Howard wants us to remember?
Well, I think the biggest one is God's faithfulness. You can see it all through the story.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites' journey proves that God keeps his promises, even when they messed up.
And we can't forget that whole idea of the promised land as a gift. They didn't earn it. God gave it to them.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another big point. obedience. We saw how the Israelites' choices, good or bad, really mattered. When they obeyed, they were blessed. But when they rebelled, things got rough. It shows us that what we do affects not just us, but everyone around us.
That's so true. It's easy to think of obedience as just following rules. But Dr. Howard helps us see that it's about trusting God, knowing He has our best interests at heart.
Yeah, you got it. And finally, I think Dr. Howard wants us to really wrestle with this idea of rest. What does it mean for us? Is it something more than just taking a break?
He definitely gave us a lot to think about. Hearing about the Israelites finally finding rest after all that wandering, it makes you wonder, what are we wandering through right now? And what kind of rest are we searching for?
Those are great questions to ask yourself. Keep exploring the book of Joshua and see how its wisdom applies to your own life.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you learned some new things about Joshua and maybe even discovered something about yourself. And if you want to keep exploring, stay tuned for more deep dives. We'll be unpacking specific themes and stories from the book in even more detail. Until then, happy exploring!